extended, you hit Brother Wayne. I'm sorry. Brother Gene called me this morning, said he's too sick to come to church, but here he is. Good to see you, buddy. Everyone doing all right, aren't they? Well, if you say no, I'm going to disagree with you. You are doing all right. You know why I know that? Because you're here right now. How much better could you do, right? This is where God wants us. This is what God's doing in our midst. And just such a shout of victory in the camp. They're just such a positive spirit right here. God can do anything he wants this morning, friends. He can do anything he wants. He just needs our faith, and faith is here. Let's get a little bit higher by the time we leave. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can come here and just enter into this atmosphere, Lord, where you already have such a freedom. Father, we're so thankful. Father, Lord, just to say thank you, it's so small, Lord, but if we can just continue to pour out our lives to you, just continue to surrender everything to you and watch you as you grow, watch you as you manifest and perform your works and wonders among us, Lord. We just so long to see that, Father. Help the ones who are not here. We remember Sister Matilda, Lord, you just touch her, completely heal her, Lord, and all the other needs that each one of us have, Lord, we just ask you to meet them through your word today. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read out of Psalms 91. Just several verses there, maybe eight or so, then we'll move on from there. Psalm 91 and verse 1. It's good to hear the Bible's turning. I like that. Oh, I'm supposed to use this. I forgot. Get that on, buddy. Thank you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You can have a seat if you like. So David's going down here, and he says, I want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow, and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he goes on to say, all these wonderful things that happen. If what? Why are these things going to happen? Why are you safe from all this stuff that's affecting everybody else and all the things that are going on? And this doesn't mean you don't have bad times, you don't get sick, all that kind of stuff. But what you have is a shelter so that you can run to this place. You have a place to hide away under the secret place of the Most High. And why do these things happen? Because this is where you are dwelling. When you will stay there, when you will stay hidden. That's what I want to say, talk about this morning, is staying hidden. Stay hidden. Because when you will stay hidden in that secret place of the Most High, brother and sister, Satan cannot touch you. He might mess with your flesh, he mess with your mind, he mess with everything else, but the real you isn't that anyways. This what you see of each other right now, this is not the real us, because what if it is, and all we do is continue to get older and older, brother and sister, the real us is hidden away, and that hiding place is right inside, right here in your soul, friends. It's not someplace off over there, whatever. It's not, well, I have to be here, I have to be there. It's right inside. You carry it with you wherever you go. My. Then you don't want to take that in some place that it shouldn't be. That's why we don't hang out in bars and do all the kind of things that we used to do, because that's not a place where that place feels comfortable. It does not feel very safe. It doesn't feel welcome, right? And so what we do is we do things that doesn't grieve that, and it, so that we can remain hidden away there so that he can give us all this protection that comes from being hidden away. Again, I'm talking again more about the position in Christ. This is your position in Christ. It's a hidden place. It's a secret place. And it's for the believers. It's only for the born again. It's only for the elect. And so, again, if you recognize that you are elect, that you have made your calling and election sure, and brother and sister, then this morning you are hidden away in that secret place, and Satan cannot get to you. Eve was hidden away at one time. Eve was hidden away. She was fortified behind the word. But what did she do? Satan came along and talked her into stepping out from behind the word. Let's just say for a second, this pulpit is the word. And as long as I'm hidden back here, Satan can throw darts at me. He can do whatever he wants. But that secret place, I can stay right there and I'm hidden. And he cannot get me to do what? He cannot get me to disbelieve. He cannot get me to doubt. He can't get me to walk away. He cannot get me to hybrid the word, because I'm hidden away behind the word. And Brother Branham said, let the word go before you and plow the furrow. And all you do is just walk in the furrow that the plow is making for you. It's really that simple. But Satan came to Eve, and he knew, because if she had a lust for knowledge, he said, I'm going to use reasoning and talk her out of it. And what did she do? She's behind the word, and he says something. She says, never thought of it that way. Tell me some more about these quotes that you've heard. Now, if Brother Branham said this quote here, and he said that quote over here, and then he said this, now I know it doesn't agree with that quote over there and that quote over there, but look where I'm at. I'm out in front of the word. And then you know what he does? Boom, he's got you. Because reasoning, he used reasoning. He used our affections. He used our own ideas. He uses our desire to be special. He uses our desire to be noticed, to be someone big, to be someone to look at. I said, wow, I never heard that before, brother. That's really amazing. Reasoning to get us to start questioning. Well, now, I've been going to this church for 30 years, Brother Phil, and I think we should do things a certain different way. Well, I don't agree with what's going on here. I think this should be happening. Your reasoning, figuring it out. Friends, you're supposed to think. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not some blind, dumb zombies we just led around by the nose. God gives you common sense. He gives you a brain to think and to consider and pray and listen for the voice of God. And then when the voice of God tells you to do something, you do that. Then you're not reasoning anymore. You're hidden behind the word. But if you step out of here and do it on your own thought, well, I think we should do it this way. I think I want to do this. And then you're away from behind the shelter of the word. You're wolf bait. You're no longer being protected by the shepherd and the flock. And then bad things happen. We went, well, why did that happen to me? Because you stepped out. You say, well, nothing bad can happen. Now, I just told you that's not the truth. Bad things can happen when you're back here. God allows it. Job, you heard of Job, right? Nate and I were talking about him a minute ago. Sure, God allows things. It's to test us and try us. But what happens, friends, is as we stay back here, we go through the trials with the right attitude, we grow in Christ, and we start noticing things about us that is just like, how did that happen? How did that happen? Naturally speaking, you know, I grew up, I was a little boy, right? I grew up, and, you know, one day I started to notice I had a little bit of peach fuzz. Well, where'd that come from? And then I get a little bit more down here, and I say, oh, my goodness, I have to start shaving. Well, where did that happen? How did that happen? I didn't make it happen. It just starts happening. It's the same thing when you are born again and you are walking. Oh, my goodness. You are walking in the Spirit, and you are doing what God wants you to do, and you start noticing things happen. And you say, well, I didn't ever act like that before. What's causing me to act this way? It's a lot like Christ. Well, I never loved that person before. Why do I love that person now? Why? Because it's a lot like Christ. Why do I sit there and let the word come and chasten me and accept it and say, praise the Lord anyways? Why? Because this is what I'm coming to. It's a maturity that comes to every born-again child of God. How does it work? I don't know. It just does. You feed on the word and you grow, and what you feed on is what you are. And the more you feed on the word, the more you become like Christ. And so someone comes up and say, oh, I thought that was Gene. Now I just see Christ. What happened to you? You say, not in these old bodies. I beg to differ. The believer sees Christ in flesh when he's manifest in his brothers and sisters. World doesn't. The world just calls you a fanatic. I'll be a fanatic for him. But when you stay hidden, then Christ can manifest himself through you. When you step out from behind the word, all you can manifest is yourself. And you might think, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. I can do this and I can do that. You are ugly out from behind the word, because all you have is your own nasty nature. Yeah, but I'm very religious. Yeah, so is the devil. That has nothing to do with it, friends. When you are stepping out from here and you start it, well, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to use my temper to control this situation. I'm going to use my outsmart you to control this situation. You just look like an old Pharisee standing out there like a sore thumb. Boy, that hurts. The best you can do, friends, in your own ability, is filthy rags. That's the best you can do. It's like going to an old nasty bathroom. A porta potty ain't been cleaned in 6 months in the middle of summertime. I know I'm being nasty, friend, but that's the best your righteousness can do. That's the best you can do. That's why. Hang on. That's why. That's why Jesus said, I would you were cold or hot. Because when you try it, the best you have is a lukewarm religion, and it's nasty and stinky and ugly. He said, just if you're not going to serve me with all your heart, go away. Just go out and live for the world and live the best life you can and be against me, or completely sell out and come on this side and say, yeah, I can use you. I can do what I want. But when you're in that middle, that nasty place in the middle, nobody likes you and you don't even like yourself. You're just a lukewarm, miserable Christian, and you're make-believing, and you're trying to show, impress everybody, well, what a great Christian I am, and what a great preacher I am, and what a great singer, and look how holy I live, and everybody impressed, and nobody's impressed, because the real bride can see right through and see, you're faking it. And the world looks at you and you say, you're just some kind of weirdo fanatic, and you don't even believe what you say, because have you ever had someone say, well, you're not living what you seem to believe? Boy, that'll bring you down, bring you some reality. Well, I thought you believed such and such. What are you doing that for? Tuck my tail and walk away. Yeah? We need to be real, and we need to just leave it alone. Leave it alone. How many times? Some of us can speak to this. So many times when you know what's right and you're not doing it, but you're out there living for the world and you're drunk and you're sitting at the bar, what do you talk about? Religion. Everyone gets religion at the bar. You get drunk and you're talking about the message. You're talking about everything. It is. It's that miserable place in the middle. Get hidden away. David says something just stirred my heart. He said, I'm so happy. Oh, he should be so happy. Oh, I'm going through horrible grief. I know that. It's hard. It's not like, like bubble. Oh, ha, ha, everything's not like that. But you got something inside that in the midst of your grief, you can still go deep inside and say, yeah, but I still got something that's holding me. Something that's keeping me. There's still, it's still something that it keeps me from falling away. It's like, yeah, I know it's hard. Right now I'm going through, I don't know how I'm ever going to get over this. This is killing me. This is destroying me. But you know what? Something holds me. If you've heard Brother Donnie the last couple of times he's preached since his daughter died, have you seen the difference in his ministry? He didn't get discouraged from the word. He's preaching harder than he ever did. He's got more reality than he ever did, because that's allowing what God is using that is to change him and make him even more for sure where he's standing. It's happening. That's what grief can do to us, brother and sister. I was talking to Brother Jim yesterday about it. I said, look what you went through, but look at the testimony God have. Oh, I don't ever want to go through that again. Of course, none of us want to go through that. But when you go through it, trusting God, look what happens is you get more Christ, and then you can show Christ to more other people. Look, like Brother Jim literally lost his mind, and look what happened. Now he's testified to half of Dixon that God is real. God has healed me. look at you, the testimonies. David gets up here almost every time and gives that, you know, he's just on fire. Because why? Because God is making a difference in his life. Look what Brother Jerry, he's come through what he's come through, and now look what his ministry is doing now, and it's more powerful than it ever was. Brother and sister, God does nothing in vain. There's no grief you went through in vain. There's nothing you went through that is not used for the betterment of the kingdom of God, if you had the right attitude. What is it, friends? Hidden away. You're hidden away in a secret place. You're hidden away behind the word. You're hidden away where Satan looks for you, and all he can see is Christ. He pokes at you. He pokes at you. And sometimes he might see a little bit of snarl, but then you just calm back down and you hide away again. You say, I forgive and I forget, and I'm going to have patience, and I'm going to deal with this the way the Holy Spirit wants me to. My, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive, to be a Christian. I tell you. And what does Satan try to do? He comes to talk you out of it, to use your reasoning, to step out from behind that secret place. Let's go back and visit Noah for a while. Noah, 120 years building the ark, preaching. The storm's coming, the flood's coming, it's going to rain. And all the make-believers are out there say, yeah, Noah, we believe you. All the unbelievers out there are making fun of him, man, ain't going to rain, you crazy crackpot. There's make-believers around, yeah, we're going to get in the ark when it's time, sure. Just like people say, yeah, I'm going to get in the rapture. I'm going to get serious when it's time. It's going to be too late. So Noah, so God says, Noah, get in the ark. It's time to get in the ark. So Noah starts, oh, it's time to go. Everyone get in. Noah, the sun is shining. There ain't a cloud in the sky. God said, get in the ark. But everything's going well, Noah. Why would we bother now? Listen, we got a picnic going on down here. I got to have to go over here. I'm going to buy a new house. I'm going to take care of this situation over here. My kids are getting married. Noah, as soon as this takes, I said, when the clouds come up, I'll come get in the ark. Noah said, you won't have time. But everything's going so easy right now. I know crazy stuff around the world, but we got it easy. Why should we get serious now? California ain't had a big earthquake. Will. Okay. Last chance. Last chance. Door shut. No preacher opens the door and no preacher closes the door. And no doctrine opens the door and no doctrine closes the door. This is the move of the Holy Spirit. And as many as are called will come. He's going to get you. That door won't shut until that last elect is safely tucked away in this secret place. And nothing happens. Well, it's going to be tomorrow. You know, his wife said, Noah, nothing's going on. It doesn't sound like rain out there. Yeah, it'll be tomorrow. I just want to make sure we're all in here safe. Tomorrow comes and it's getting hot in there. Why is it so hot? It's the sun beating down. There's no rain out there. But it's coming. God shut the door. Day 3. I've been hearing this rapture thing since I was a little kid. And you see, oh, yeah, it's closer than ever before. Well, no kidding, it's closer. But, I mean, goodness sakes, well, I've been hearing it for my whole life. Where is this rapture? We've been hearing about a rapture, and people come and they grow old and they die, and they grow old and they die. And here we are at the end of 2023. Can you believe it? There ain't a message believer around back in from the 1980s or 90s who would ever thought we'd get this far. There ain't nobody thought it. If you say, well, I did, I'm going to call you a liar. I am. Because there's no way you could have thought that. I'm not saying you had a date put on it, but not to 2024. So Ham comes up to Noah about day 4. You remember Ham, his son, who was kind of the renegade? He said, listen, my wife, their family is planning a picnic. Could we just open the door a little bit so we could go to the picnic, and then if it starts raining, we could all bring her family in too. Open the door, Noah. Come out from behind your secret place. We can get him in. We can come in. Come on, Noah, and outside. Hey, Mr. Noah, our daughter's in there. Could you let us, like, visit her for a little bit since nothing's going on? Could you just crack the door, let her step out and visit? Oh, I mean, we could at least have a little friendship, a little fellowship out here. We can go fellowship out here. Come on, Noah. Day five comes along. Mrs. Noah's, like, getting a little antsy. Noah, it's really stinking in here. These animals. It's really hot. Could we just prop the door open? We could at least get in the shade and let a little fresh air. We could all use some fresh air in here. Let's just compromise just a little, Noah. You don't have to be so hardcore. Open the door, Noah. You know what's going on in Noah's mind? Day six. God, I know you told me to do this. I'm standing on your word, but I don't understand this at all. I don't understand. You told me to get in, and you closed the door. I know you did this. I know you sealed me in here. You did that. I can't seal myself. You sealed me in here, but I don't understand what's going on. Why am I this? Why is this happening? Why do I have this trouble? Why are these guys? I'm a Christian, and yeah, look what's going on in my life. Why are these things happening? God sat silent, didn't even bother to answer. You're doing what I told you to do? Then why should I have to talk to you? What's there to say? You're doing it. I don't know. Look, I'm just saying that. I don't know if God spoke to Noah during that time or not. But I'm talking about for you and I sometime when we do what God wants us to do and we're sitting there and we're wondering like, well, nothing is happening now. I know I'm going to this church, I'm doing this, God told me to do this, and now it's just like quiet, it's silent. You start moving around and like, well, maybe I had the wrong idea. Maybe it wasn't God who spoke to me. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe I just had an imagination. Maybe I didn't understand that, you know, maybe this, and what is it? It's reasoning. Maybe I was led wrong. Maybe it was just my own idea. Well, friends, if you know it was God speaking to you, then it was not just your idea, but do you know the voice of God? That's the whole key, because the bride knows the voice of God, and they follow what he says. Noah, are you going to open the door? Are you going to step out? Are you going to compromise just a little bit? Because you know what? After all, things are going to go. You know, when things get really bad, you know, I can get more serious. I can get right with God. I can really dedicate my life to God at that point. Day seven comes along, and everyone in the ark was saying, Noah, thank you so much for not compromising. Everyone outside was, hey, there's clouds up here. It's looking bad. The wind's picking up. There's something crazy going on in the sky. What's going on? Noah, hey, open the door. Remember, I'm a believer, Noah. I'm a believer. I came to your church. I went to your church, Noah. Open the door. I sat in your pew Sunday after Sunday. Open the door, Noah. I was serious. I was trying. What excuse are you going to give? What excuse is everybody who should be here and is not here today? What excuse are they going to give when it's like time to get in the ark, but you can't get in anymore because it's been sealed? Ah, what a time! I remember when I was, when I was a little kid, we play these records. Some of you might remember those big old black records that you spun around on that. Some of you are thinking, what is that? And we'd go to bed, and it was a very small house, and Mom would play a record, you know, go when kids were on bed. And she played this one song, and the words were, standing outside the portal, standing outside denied. Oh, what an awful picture, standing outside. And I used to be a six-year-old little kid just cringing in my bed. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be that person standing outside. Just fear. Horrible. One time I got up and went, Mama, don't play that song anymore. She understood. She quit. But that's going to be a reality for how many people. How many people, because now when the door is still open, as far as I can tell, the door is still open. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray that God will do what he can. And here's the place of rest, friend. If they're elect, they're going to come. If they're elect, they're going to come. And if they're not, they're not. Why? You just have to rest. Sometimes our human nature, our human mind thing, but that's not fair. But it is. When all is said and done, judgment is over, nobody's going to be able to stand and say, God wasn't fair. Because you'll be able to understand exactly what was happening. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, says, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. So here's he's talking about his dove. It's the, you know, Song of Solomon, it's that love story. He says that you're in the clefts of the rock, so there's this rock, and in the secret place of the stair, that stairs means steep places. And so you're talking about this cliff, and there's holes in the cliff, and his dove is hidden away in one of these the holes here in this cliff. He said, don't come out of there. He said, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. He said, in the secret place of the steep places. He said, stay in there, stay hidden away, but in that secret place, I want to hear your voice. In that secret place, I want to see your face. I want to see your countenance, because that face-to-face is what he's longing for with the bride. It's just like a man and woman who love each other. You want to see him face-to-face. But that's, you stay in that secret place to do it. Don't come out of there to try to be something. Don't try to come out behind the word to try to show God what a great Christian you are. Don't come out and try to make yourself odd or weird or something like, well, look how Christ-like I am, and trying to be like somebody else and trying to be something that you're not. Stay hidden away behind the word. Stay hidden away. That's where he wants you. Those steep places are difficult to go to. Those foxes that spoil the vine, they can't climb up on those steep part of that cliff. You stay hidden away, and Satan cannot get to you. He cannot get to your soul. He cannot get to that place and cause you to disbelieve. Now, he can't. Friends, you're sealed. You are sealed, so he can't get there. I'm not saying that you're going to start disbelieving, but he will get into your mind. And if you step out from behind the word, he'll get into your mind, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to start believing some crazy stuff. But God's going to get you back. He's going to straighten you back out. That's what the ministry is for, to keep you from being tossed to and fro. But stay back there. It's a secret place, hidden away from the influence of the world. The word is revealed to you personally. That secret place is when the word is revealed to you personally. It's not a secret place. We're all in one place. Let me take a minute on that. We're not all in the same secret place. You're in your own individual secret place. It's not the church all together in one place. That's the denominational mindset. Well, I belong to this church. I'm in a secret place. No, you're not. No, you're not, because God doesn't do it that way. He doesn't save you as a group. He saves you by yourself. He saves you by yourself. He saves you by yourself. He gives you the Holy Ghost by yourself. He gives it to you by yourself. He does all this individually, because he wants to let you know that you are that important to him. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can love the way you love. Nobody can express Christ the way you can express Christ. I know we hear that, and you know, no one can take my place. But friends, when that really drops down from your mind, just a doctrine, down to your heart, and you recognize that nobody can take your place, and the body of Christ is not perfect until you're in your position. The body of Christ is not perfect. Every cell in your body is different than every other cell in your body. You had trillions of them, how many cells, but every one of them is different, and every member of the body of Christ is different from every other member of the body of Christ, and your love affair with Jesus Christ is different from everyone else's love affair with Jesus Christ. So brother and sister, you might as well just go ahead and suck it up and accept that you've been called to this, and you might as well find your position, and you might as well be obedient to the word so that he can bring you to the place and put you in your position and put you in your ministry. Street, and we can get out of here and go home. But every single person has to be there. The elect is all going to be there, and that's exactly what's going on. And when everyone is in that position and living what you're supposed to do, that door is going to slam shut, however that works. And then we're going to sit here. And Brother Branham said people will still be going to the altar thinking they're getting saved, and it's going to be too late. Souls in prison now. And we might be in that point, right? Friends, we might be doing that right. I have no idea. Like I said, I don't believe that. I believe the door is still open. But that can absolutely happen, and we could be sitting there now. And just that last little bit of honing, of polishing, of getting that last bit of dross out of us. We have to be close, friends. We have to be close. Satan tempted Jesus by using reasoning. You're hungry. You're God. You say you're God, right? Well, if you're God and you created everything, isn't it reasonable that you could, like, take that little stone there and make some bread and eat? My goodness, just do it. What is holding you back? Reasoning. If you say who you are, if you say you're the Son of God, if you are, then just jump off this high place here and you know, just prove who you are. Prove who you are. It's reasonable. If you are the bride of Christ, why don't you go and show some kind of sign of wonder or do something to prove who you are? Why don't you pray some prayer of faith and raise the dead or the sick? Or why don't you do something to prove you're the bride of Christ? It's reasonable. The Word says so. Just do what the Word says. It's reasonable. Show us something. Show us something. You know, live a really holy life in front of everybody so everyone can see, oh, what a holy person you are. Impress me. You ever have someone who's just irritating? Especially someone like a little kid or something. I'm going to get in trouble here. And you just want to swat them? Don't swat them. But can't you imagine that must have been what? Now, Jesus was tempted. But he stood on the Word. Can you imagine? He said, I have the power to swat you down to hell. Don't you think he was tempted to do that? Just to swat him away. Just like, get away from me, you mosquito. I'm tired of listening to you. And he does that to you and I, brothers and sisters, just in your ear. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Try to get you think about it. Try to get your mind in a turmoil. Try to get you think, you know, all tore up about stuff that means nothing. Yes, swat him away. Go ahead. It's okay. Just take the Word and say, get behind me, Satan. It is written. It is written. It is written. And take the Word that God gives you in that moment, that anointed, inspired Word, and swat him away from you. Stand on the Word. Stay fortified behind it. Okay. Change gear just a little bit here. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, it's a mystery. It's this secret, and he tells it to individuals. Brother Branham says this. He said, the mysteries of his will, now it is not just a little thing. It is not just a little thing. Then it's a mystery. God's will is a mystery. A mystery is something that people who know it is no more a mystery to them, but everyone else it's not revealed to is still a mystery. God's will is a mystery, and each man has to seek out the will of God for his or herself. It's God's mystery. Like I was saying, it's an individual thing. You need to know God's mystery for yourself, the mystery of his will. What does God want from me? That's between you and God. You have to know it individually. God reveals it to you individually. It's not something that you're going to, well, my dad does this, so I'll do this, or my wife is this, so I'm going to do this. Brother and sister, it's not that at all. You need to know for sure. You need to know what church you're supposed to go to. If you happen to be in the wrong church right now, you need to find the will of God and get to the right church so we can go in a rapture. If you're not in church right now and you're supposed to be here, then you need to get here. If everybody's listening to me, you need to go ahead and figure it out and decide, like, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. It's a mystery. It's his will. Remember, it cannot be taught in any seminary. It's a mystery. You cannot know it by education, by theology. theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. It's been hidden since the foundation of the world. The mystery of his will for your life, he had it in his mind since before the foundation of the world. He said, I am going to have Brother Paul here, and he's going to fulfill this part of my mystery, and he's the only one who can do it. He's had you in his mind since then, brother and sister. Can you imagine? I can't even fathom that. You always were. You always will be. You will never quit being in his mind. You will never quit being elect. You cannot be taken out of his mind. You are eternal as he is. And in that situation, in that position, he has something for you to do. Fulfill his word, the word for this day. And nobody can teach it. He said, it's been hidden since the foundation of the world, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for us to get in position so that mystery can be made manifest. What is Christ? Where is Christ? The mystery of God revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And Christ is when Christ is in flesh, and he's in flesh and is bride today, and it reveals the whole mystery of God. And it says, this is him. This is what we've been called for, and so much time, brother and sister, it's just a doctrine. We need to pray for revelation more than anything else. Reveal this to me. Do this through me. Take me through whatever I have to go through to manifest this through me, because the whole world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And brother and sister, until we get there, we're not going anywhere. But we're getting there. That's what's exciting. I've watched this church in the last several months, and I see like growth, and I see more of Christ, and I see more love, and I see more grace, and I see it's just God making himself more real and real in this little group, and it is the most exciting thing I've ever seen. Well, you can go to other churches, and they have great miracles happening. That's good. We have miracles happening. I ain't worried about that. Brother Branham said the false anointed ones do the same signs as the true anointed. The difference is the word. They can't stay with the word, but here we can stay with the word. And the reason I know it's happening because I see the character of Christ being formed, that can only happen if you're staying with the word. Boy, that's true, brother and sister. That's just true. Let me read something out of, Luke. The road to Emmaus, right? And they got in the inn, they're getting ready to eat. In verse 30, it said, 24:30, it says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. He had talked to them all the way. He had preached to them, Brother Branham, 6 hours sermon on vindicated prophecy, and they knew it in their mind, and their hearts were burning, and yet it had not been revealed to them. It still was a mystery who this man was. The mystery was, who is Christ? Because they saw him, they had walked with him, lived with him for 3 years, and now he is right there in front of them, but their eyes were closed. They could not recognize who it is, even though they agreed with the preaching. Their heart burned. They loved the preaching. They loved to come to church. They loved to hear the word. They loved to hear the preacher preach. They loved the atmosphere. They loved everything about it, and yet their eyes were closed until he opened them. He had to open them. And brother and sister, the same thing, each individual person, he has to open your eyes. You can say, I love to hear the preaching. I love to come to church. I love to have this fellowship and the singing and, oh, the atmosphere. I just love to go. And it's nothing but a social event until your eyes are open. Message churches are full of this. They're full of it. It's just a social event where they come and they enjoy the presence of the Lord and they enjoy the anointing and they'll dance and scream and shout and say amen and come out of their seat about what's being preached. And yet it's just a social event because the make-believers do that too. The make-believers do that. Luke 24, let's keep going. Verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He had been preaching to them all this stuff while he was with them. And they didn't know who he was. Peter knew who he was. It was revealed to him, but yet he didn't know who he was personally because he hadn't been born again yet. You see what I'm saying? You can have that revelation. This message is true. A lot of people have that revelation been revealed. This message is true. This, the prophet was true. This, I believe it with all my heart. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He has to open our understanding. He only does it to the elect. That's why you can talk to people, and you, there's good people, the best people in the world, but they'll say stuff or they'll do something, and you think, they don't really see it. They don't really see it yet. There's something still missing. And I'm not saying the judge will go around, well, you see it and you don't. That's just Pharisees. I'm not talking about that. But when it's real, it's real. How do you explain that? No more than I can explain growing a beard. I can't explain growing a beard. Paul can. It's just God having his way. God doing what he wants us to, what he wants to do. All right, I got a few quotes. I'm going to read this, and then we're trying to finish here. Well, I got another scripture I have to read first. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can't even come unless God calls you. You got to come through Christ, and he has to call you. If ye had known me, there you go. He's saying, you don't even know me? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. They knew he was the Son of God, but yet they did not know him. It was a doctrine in their head. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. See, he said, now if you know me, you know my Father, but from now on, you're going to know him and see him. Okay, that seems pretty straightforward, right? So Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. It suffices. It'll be enough. If you will show us, you said we're going to see him. Okay, well, let's see him. We want to see the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, wait a minute. You said you're going to show us the Father, and then he said, you haven't known me. Brother and sister, every born-again child of God has that same testimony. Have I been with you so long, and you haven't known the Father? Have I been with you so long, and you don't know who I am? Sometimes we feel it come up short. You have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Friend, in this age, the Son of Man ministry, the Son of Man dispensation, which is still in effect, the prophet left, that ministry is still in effect, that dispensation is still in effect. And when we see you, that born-again child of God, you see the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. If you can get past this flesh and see the Spirit inside of me, what's motivating me, what's living through me, then you will see God the Father, which is the Son, which is the Holy Spirit. So, well, I don't know if I can say that, brother Phil. I can't really confess that, though. When they see me, they see the Father. Well, then get born again, and you will. How dare you say something different than what the Word says about you? You're making up your own religion now. You're making up what you want to be known by, what you want to call yourself. Brother and sister, we have to have that same testimony. If Jesus Christ is the same today as he was back then Jesus Christ in flesh has the same testimony that he did back then. Oh, that just brings me up short, Brother Phil. Well, good. Grow up. Keep moving. Grow some beards. Spiritually speaking. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Brother and sister, if you're sitting under a ministry where you don't have confidence in what the preachers are preaching, that it's the Word, that it's the Father giving in what to speak, then you need to find a place where you have confidence in the ministry. But if you do have confidence in the ministry, go ahead and accept what's being preached because it is the Father speaking to you. I understand what it means to be a minister to some extent, that I am very responsible for what I preach from behind here because I'm going to answer for it, and so are you. I'm going to answer for it. Did I say what God wanted me to say? And you're going to answer for it. Did you accept what he said to you, or did you not like it so you didn't accept it? That goes for me, Brother Jerry, and all the Brother Branham, and all the rest of the ministry, the gifts that God gives to us. We are responsible for what they say to us, to accept it and believe it and recognize it's the voice of God speaking to us. And when we do that, brother and sister, it will change us. It will change us into what God wants us to be. It will make you what you've always wanted to be. That desire in your heart. There's something inside. What is that longing? It's a longing to be like Christ. It's something inside that you didn't put in there, but it's a desire. And the more you accept the preaching of the word, the more like Christ you become, because you're feeding on the word, and that word is a seed, and that seed must bring forth after its own kind, and that kind is Jesus Christ manifest in flesh today in its season. Oh, I challenge you to take this at his word. I challenge you to believe this. I challenge you not to try to figure it out. Just go ahead and say amen to the word and watch it happen in your life. I'm a living testimony to what I'm saying, because I see this happening in me and I see it happening in you. Praise the Lord. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe what Brother Jerry preaches or whoever else you listen to, then believe it because of the effect that the word has. Believe it by the effect it's having in people around you. You say, well, I don't think of that, so I don't see it that way. Well, look at people changing around you. If you watch how people are changing around you, that's the works of the word for this day. And it's going scream here in a second. It's Jesus Christ, the mystery of God, living right here among us. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's going to take this body and leave. He's going to send that Holy Spirit back, and that Holy Spirit in this age is going to indwell you till you and him are one. Brother Branham said, justification gave way to sanctification, gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, gave way to the Holy Ghost itself. What we have, friends, is more than they had down through the church. Same Holy Ghost, but the ministry, the manifestation of it is different, because when it's the Son of Man ministry, it's he himself in flesh. It's not just a baptism. It's he himself in flesh in his fullness. And his fullness isn't going to be an individual, but it's going to be in the whole body. And you must be part of it, because that fullness has to be in fullness. If someone's not in their position, that fullness isn't there yet. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, Brother Phil, I've asked something in God's name. He didn't do it. Okay, then call him a liar. Is that what you're saying? Because when you say that, that's what you're doing. So, well, God didn't back up his word. He must be a liar. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that. You know the reason we don't get a lot of things we ask for? Because we ask him to consume of our own lust, like James said. But when you come to that point where he can trust you with his word, he releases that authority to you. He said, ask what you will. Ask anything in my name. In my name. I want a new Silverado truck, just like Brother Jim. But I can't ask that in his name, because I don't have any inclination at all that he says, that's my perfect will for you to get a new Silverado. I wish I had that revelation for you, Brother Jim. I just don't. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying I don't. Yeah. I don't have that revelation either. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Brother Seth got a revelation to get that little Maverick out there. I got the revelation to be envious. I'm just kidding. Appreciate it. I love to see God bless his people. Isn't it wonderful? All right, let me get going again here. I got to just take a break there. He said, Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament on down, there couldn't have been manifestation. You talk about the manifestation of sons of God. It had to wait till this time. Now, all things have been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it will join him and his church together. You realize what the ministry is doing right now? It is performing a marriage. You are being married by the ministry. You're being married to Christ. If you, when you're born again, if you're already married to him, then that's done. And, you know, but we are getting more and more Christ. But that's what the ministry now is doing. It's molding us together so Christ and the bride become one. And we become him. We take his name, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we're Mrs. Jesus Christ. We are him. That's what's happening. That's what this ministry is doing. I've never married anybody naturally, just so to speak, but I'm marrying people right now. You're being married to Christ. That's powerful. But why can't the world see it? Let me finish up on this thought. Because it's hidden in here. We have this glory in earthen vessels. So the glory is to God, not us, not our own self. We cannot take any credit. You cannot stay behind the veil, stay behind the word in that secret place and take credit to yourself. If you start feeling yourself getting puffed up, well, look how good I'm doing. Look at me. Look at this. You're stepping out from behind there. Get back in there and humble yourself back down and say, God, except for you doing it, there's nothing good in me. I'm just a porta potty. He said, the traditions. On the day of Pentecost, the word came down and was in a form of Son of God. They began to organize it at Rome, at Nicaea. The first thing he went to Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Message Believers, and so forth. I threw that in there. It organized traditions. A man doesn't know where he stands. Glory to God, he promised in the last day what he would do. He would show his word in plain view, open before us again, open it up. That's what we have the word for. That's the message, that the opening of the seals is to have to show Christ in plain view again, just like he used to be. And now the bride sees him in plain view, and he's the word. What he's been doing down through the church ages, of the churches, they were growing and going through all this stuff. They took the word, and they hybrid it, and they twisted it, and they had false ideas in there, and his man-made ideas. Because of that, he could not marry him. They could not have that Son of Man ministry because it was the Son of God. It was just the Holy Spirit in him. But not to the effect that we have it now. It was a baptism. That's what they had. Is that confusing? Don't worry about it. If you don't understand it, just like, okay, I believe it and keep going. It's not confusing once you see it, of course. If they had only known the word, they have known who Jesus was. If a man only know the word of God, he know what hour we're living and what's going on. They just refuse to listen to that word. It's their traditions. And that's why sometimes when you preach these things, you say we have the same, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, I don't know about that. Well, because your tradition has closed your eyes to it. Well, I think you're going a little too far with what you're saying because your tradition has closed your eyes. Well, I don't know if I should go ahead and just get crazy like you and start confessing these things because your traditions has closed your eyes. Take God at his word. That's the purpose of the message is to get us so we can see Christ fully exposed in front of us. The unveiled God, plain view. They should have seen him standing there, yet he was too common. He was an ordinary man. Brother Phil, I've seen the mistakes you made over the years. Yes, you have. Let that stumble you if you want, but I suggest you don't. I suggest you look past that and see if Christ is inside of me or not. See what's manifest through me, the same way that we do to each other. You got to look past. I let me just say this, just coming to my mind. I never been married, you know that. But to me, a married couple would be the hardest thing to look past that flesh because you know all the weaknesses about that person you've been living with. And you got to look past that and see Christ in them. I think that shows a level of maturity. Some of you are nodding your head. But you got to look past the flesh of the ministry. You got to look past the flesh of William Branham. Boy, that gets some people stirred up. Not you, because you've been taught right. He was a prophet. He wasn't God. And his kids are not God. And yet, we are God. Isn't that amazing? that inside you is God in you, the hope of glory. They couldn't see it. There stood a man. Well, they said, this guy, what school did he come from? Remember when that spear struck his body, that spirit left him. The temple, the sacrifice blocks turned over. The lightning whipped around through the temple, rent the veil. What was it? There was their God hanging on Calvary. They were too blind to see it. God veiled in a human being. Let me get on this a little bit, this more about this Son of Man. Now remember, Jesus, let me keep go a little higher. When the tradition, veil of traditions of the elders and the word is broke through, then come in plain view, we see him. Deity again veiled in human flesh. Please don't put that off to 2,000 years ago as the only time this happened. Brother and sister, if deity is always veiled in human flesh, and today in the bride more than any other time as far as the bride. That's why it was in Brother Branham. So the Holy Spirit living through Brother Branham, he was that wave sheaf. And we could see this is what Christ in flesh looks like in our day. And we can see that that's exactly the same thing that we're going to have to come to. Not the prophetic gifts, but the same character of Christ doing the same work through his bride. What am I supposed to do? Whatever God calls you to do. Well, all I do is pray. Well, then that's what you're called to do is pray. Make sure you're praying. All I do is raise a family. Well, then be the best family raiser you can. That's what God called you to do. But I don't feel very religious. Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, what are we looking for? Some kind of super, I want people to know who I am. I want people to know my ministry. Well, then get back behind the veil and humble yourself down. It's that nasty nature. Remember, God was a man standing there eating and talking with Abraham and told what Sarah was doing in the tent behind it. Jesus said, as it was in the day of Sodom, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Deity veiled again in human flesh. The coming of the Son of Man is deity veiled in human flesh. Now remember, Jesus didn't say when the Son of God is being revealed. Here's the difference. It's not the Son of God being revealed in the end time. In Luke, the 17th chapter, he said when the Son of Man is being revealed. The Son of Man back in the church again, revealed in human beings. He didn't say just revealed in the prophet. He said back in the church, revealed in human beings. It's the Son of Man again. Not Son of God, but the Son of Man again, back in his church again in the last days. And these are the last days. And Brother Branham is not here, so that ministry must be in human flesh. Deity veiled in human flesh again at the very end. This is what you've been called to. This is who you are, Bride of Christ. Pray that God drops that into your soul if it ain't there now. That doctrine in your head is great. It's been planted. But brother and sister, that needs to come to life. And he's the only one who can bring it to life. He's the only one who can make it happen. He said, well, what's that going to be like? I don't know. That's between you and him. There's not a formula to this. It's not I want to fall in love this way. I want to, no, it's just you and him, that relationship between the two of you. Then we being in him, we are still veiled. The veil is still here. And we irritate each other sometimes. We scratch at each other sometimes. We offend each other sometimes. We say things, we disrespect each other sometimes. That's all going away, friends. It might not be until the rapture, but it's all going away. Right? When we get a new body change, it's going to be scratching, irritating, anything like that. You're going to have to put up with me for eternity. Sorry about that, but you're just going to have to deal with it. We are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See our glory that we have and enjoying? We are still veiled to them outsiders. They think we're crazy, a nut again. But we who are in here in Christ, baptized into him, we are partakers of this glory. Not on the outside, you're still looking in, denying it. So now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. Can you listen? He's inviting. He's asking you. He said, would you come in? Do you want this? There's something inside of you that wants this more than anything else. And when you recognize that seed in there wants this more than anything else, you surrender that and you get born again. But when you still want to hold on to your own ideas and thoughts or whatever else and something of the world you're still getting a little bit of pleasure from, then, friends, you're not in there yet. But something inside you will pull you in there. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. They know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. It's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. It's no more a word. It's a reality. That's why I'm so excited. That's why David is excited. That's happy. That's why all these things are going on. Because this word is not just a doctrine. We heard the prophet say this. We heard him say this. But now we're seeing it actually happen among us. And brother and sister, that fires us up. That's that stimulation of revelation that gets to dancing. It's not just some bubble dance, but you're dancing on the rock of ages because you know who you are and you know where you're standing. And it's not just some kind of let's get anointed and have a great service, but we have something to dance about. We have something to shout about. We have a reason to be happy. We have some reason that Satan can come against us, and in spite of all he throws against us, you stand there in the face of it all and say, do your best, you devil, because you can't do nothing but what God allows you to anyways. Why? Because you know who you are. This is not just a doctrine. If all you have is a doctrine, he's going to kick you across the county. But when you have the revelation, the manifestation of that doctrine, then you stand just as firm as can be. Noah didn't go out and open that door. Why? Because he knew with it, that revelation said, get in the ark and stay there. And brother and sister, he's telling us the same thing. Get behind the word and stay there. Oh, praise the Lord. Last thing. He said, now it isn't just a written word to us, it's reality. We are in him. Now we're enjoying him. Now we behold him. Now we see him, the word manifesting himself. It's hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh. What are you looking for? What more are you looking for? What? Well, I want to see lightning and thunder. I want to see someone speak the word. Brother and sister, the word is being spoke right now. It's telling you who you are. It's creating life in you, brother and sister, if you would just accept it and not let your own thoughts and your own fears and your own doubts. Well, Brother Phil, I'd really like to believe that. Then just believe it. If you don't, it ain't going to happen. But if it's revealed, then it is happening. Veiled. We are still veiled. Human flesh, veiling deity. And that's who you are. You believe that?
Yes.
Yes, you do. I totally agree. You do believe this. This is what God is doing in our midst. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that you would come and just encourage us again. That you would come and take your word and make it real, Lord. Lord, just to know that this is what you're doing in our midst. And we see it happen, and then you come in and you show it to us. And it's the modern events made clear by prophecy. We see the change in our lives, and then we can look at the word and say, oh, this was prophesied. This is what you said would happen. And here we are watching this happen in our midst. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that, Father, we can recognize it, and we can see beyond the veil because we're hidden away where that veil is on the outside. But, Lord, we see inside. And we're standing here watching the word happening around us. And brother, and Father, this is the greatest thing a person can understand. It's the greatest thing a person can enjoy. It's the greatest thing a person can do is to become a manifested child of God. We're seeing this happen, and this is the age for it. Our prophet told us it was the age for it, and here we are. We're standing on the very, we got a front row seat watching the world happen, watching the prophecies happen. We see what's going on in the world. We see what's going on in the church, the false church. We see what's going on in the bride. And we're here to watch all this unfold. This is why the prophet said all the prophets wanted to live in this time. Brother Branham himself would have loved to be alive in this time. But you had to take him away so we get our eyes on you. Only on you. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. I pray you'd bless each person here, Lord. Let the word just become so real, Father. If someone's having trouble with it, it's not quite dropping down where it needs to, not quite coming to life, Lord, reveal yourself to them. You must open their eyes. You must open all of our eyes. All of us, we need so much more revelation. Every day we should be praying for a revelation, a closer walk with you, Father. And we know it's your will because you put it on our heart. Just ask for it. Ask what you will, you'll receive it. Ask anything in your name, you said. And you will do it. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, that you would take every person here and just set them on that rock, just so such a solid foundation, just more reality that we can look at each other and be amazed We can look past that flesh of Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy and Brother Jim and Sister Joyce and Brother David and Sister Jessica and all these different ones. We see past that and we see Christ. And you want to shake their hand, you want to hug them and say, oh, brother, oh, sister, I see a reality in your life. Oh, that's what we long for, Lord Jesus. And then when we do get scratchy, just let us recognize that it's an opportunity to show Christ, to die to our own self, to not to protect our own self, but to just let our to go to Calvary in that situation and just love and have grace for each other, friends. Have grace for each other, Lord Jesus. This is what we long for. Oh, Father, we just thank you that we can stand here this morning and know this is our inheritance. This is our privilege. It's more than a privilege. This is our right to these precious things because we understand the mystery of your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless everyone who's not here, Father. Bring us all back again Thursday night, ready to hear more what you have for us. We ask this in your name, Lord.